Are China and the United States ultimately destined for war? We're going to talk about a new book called Destined for War, Can America and China Escape Thucydides' Trap? The author is Dr. Graham Allison of Harvard. He's the founding dean, in fact, of the Harvard Kennedy School. And Dr. Allison, it's quite a privilege to have you on.
It's a privilege for me to be here. Thank you.
Sure. Now, I understand there's some wisdom we can learn from a man who lived about 500 years before Christ, Thucydides, a Greek writer. Tell us about him and about this trap and Athens versus Sparta.
Well, perhaps for some of your listeners, Thucydides will sound like a mouthful, and he is multisyllabic, but he's a person whose name they should know and whose ideas I think are important for all of us. So this is Thucydides. He was the founder of history, actually. So he's the first person who ever tried to write down accurately what specifically happened for the benefit of successors so that we could read about the mistakes that others made and not have to repeat them. And he wrote about the conflict between the two great powers in classical Greece, Athens and Sparta. And he wrote a famous line, which is what I call Thucydides' trap. He said it was the rise of Athens and the fear that this instilled in Sparta that made war inevitable. So Thucydides' trap is when a rising power threatens to displace a ruling power, one has a serious structural stress in which the two parties' relationship deteriorates greatly, and third-party actions that would otherwise be inconsequential or easily managed can end up triggering actions and reactions by the two primary actors that take them to a war that they never wanted and that they never intended, and that was ultimately catastrophic for both of them, as happened between Athens and Sparta.
And in the book, you have about, 16 or so case studies, 12 of which did end up in war. They were like that Thucydides trap with the Sparta versus Athens. And but there were four that did not end up in war.
Right.
Am I right on my numbers?
Exactly right. In the book, I look at the last 500 years. So, I mean, the Thucydidean storyline is as old as history, as recorded history itself. It's been repeated every century since. But I just decided I would look at the last 500 years, and I found 16 cases in which a rising power threatened to displace a ruling power. As you said, 12 of them ended in war, 4 of them war was averted. So for sure, Thucydides' line about inevitable was exaggeration. He really meant that as hyperbole, not precisely. But what he does mean, and what I agree with, is that in the case of the rise of China and the impact of that on the ruling U.S., business as usual will likely produce history as usual. And in this case, that'll be a conflict that'll be catastrophic. But on the other hand, as the four cases remind us, only those who fail to study history are condemned to repeat it. So nothing requires us to make the mistakes that other parties have made. And the real objective in writing this book is to help us understand that we're facing this Thucydidean dynamic in the relationship with a rising China that really does threaten to displace us in many domains, especially now in Asia. Well, and that if we just do business as usual, this is not going to turn out well. But we can be smarter than that, take advantage of the other lessons, and therefore escape.
All right, I'm going to quote a little bit here from your book. This is actually from the introduction. The world has never seen anything like the rapid tectonic shift in the global balance of power created by the rise of China. If the U.S. were a corporation, it would have accounted for 50% of the global economic market in the years immediately after World War II. By 1980, that had declined to 22%. So from 50% around 1945 to 22% in 1980, 3 decades of double-digit Chinese growth has reduced that U.S. share to 16% today. If current trends continue, it'll get down to about 11%. And meanwhile, China is actually growing. Their percentage was 18% in 2016. So they're already ahead of us economically, at least, you know, as far as GDP, I guess, right?
Correct. Correct. And most Americans can't even get their head around that because we know the U.S. means number one. We should be number one. I would prefer a world in which we're number one. But the reality is China has now got a larger economy than the U.S.
And what does that mean for potential war?
Well, I think what that means is that one's going to see China in our face and in our space more and more every day because a bigger Chinese economy is like the substructure of what happens in politics. So China then becomes the dominant trading partner with every one of the Asian nations. It's their biggest buyer, their biggest seller, their biggest investor. Consequently, when a difference of opinion occurs with the Philippines, as we're now seeing, all of a sudden they're going to become more beholden to China rather than us. In South Korea, as we're seeing a very dangerous set of events now, the South Korean leader is going to be thinking more about China. And even Australia. Recently, the prime minister said, you know, he's got to take account of China first. So basically what's happening is gravity has shifted and our relative weight has declined in relationship with China. And every other party's relationship with China has become thicker. So I would think that we're going to see and we're in for a very dangerous period of attempting to adapt and adjust and work out arrangements that are good enough for them and good enough for us.
Without having war. Now, it's interesting, going back to this 16 cases that you highlight, 12 that were failures because they did end up in war, including World War One. Which, of course, World War One, if that hadn't happened, World War Two wouldn't have happened. I mean, the seeds for World War Two were sown at Versailles at the very end of World War One. But anyway, bottom line is, what's the commonality in those 12 cases where there was war versus, say, those 4 cases where there wasn't war? What's the overall difference?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, there's no single, gene that accounts for the difference. Basically, each one of the case studies is interesting in itself, and each of them offers clues about mistakes that we can make, that we can avoid, and successful actions that were taken. So in the case of the failures, one of the common features was people's failure to imagine that one could actually get into a sequence of events that ends in a war. Mm. So most of the people in Europe knew that that they had developed quite tight alliance relationships before 1914. But when the Archduke was assassinated in June of 1914, yes, that didn't immediately set off alarm bells anywhere. Yeah. Most of the leaders of Europe, since this was summertime, spend most of the rest of the time between that assassination and when the war broke out on vacation. So one of my villains in this story is Grey, who was the foreign minister of Britain. He spent his time going on vacation more than working on the problem, what to do. Hmm. And when he finally got back to the office and focused on what to do, he came up with a pretty good plan that if he had sat down with 2 or 3 weeks earlier with all of the great powers and said, we don't want to be dragged into a situation that could ultimately be a war that would be catastrophic. Here's an outline of a compromise. And he had a pretty good compromise, and I think it would have been accepted. So basically, you know, each one of the cases offers very important clues for us now. From that clue, I would take, for example, in the current situation in North Korea. I mean, the North Koreans are going in the months ahead, not forever, just in months, going to test an ICBM that will be able to deliver a nuclear warhead against San Francisco or Los Angeles. So that's what's happening. President Trump has said he's never going to let that happen. That'll never happen on his watch. He's promised. That's what he says. So we got two trains coming down the track that may collide, or we may have a North Korea that will be able to threaten the American homeland with nuclear weapons. The whole situation is nuts.
Yeah.
So you would wish and hope that the U.S. and China would be like adults, able to sit down and talk about potential resolution of this issue. But because of the poisonous impact of the Thucydidean dynamic, because from the Chinese perspective, as they say, you know, the problem in the Korean Peninsula is only one. It's the fact that you're there. You weren't in South Korea. You would have resolved this problem long ago. And then there's some merit in that. And we say, wait a minute. The reason why we're in South Korea, why we have 30,000 troops there, why we have bases there, why we have a defense alliance with South Korea, is North Korea attacked South Korea in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
Almost took the whole country. We came to the rescue. South Korea in the period since then has grown to become a democracy, a market economy, the 13th largest economy in the world.
Wow.
South Korea is a fantastically successful society.
Yes.
So we're not going anywhere, we say. Well, that's just what Thucydides would say is the kind of situation in which then Kim Jong-un, without consulting either of us, can do something that could end up dragging the two of us into a war.
So, in other words, North Korea could start the whole thing, but ultimately the combatants would be the U.S. and China, perhaps.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
That's exactly what happened in the first Korean War. Again, most listeners may not remember, but in 1950, North Korea attacked South Korea, almost captured the whole country. We came to the rescue at the last minute, fought them back up the peninsula. MacArthur was our general.
Was
rapidly approaching the Chinese border. We were 50 times stronger than China. We had just dropped two atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki 5 years earlier, next door,
right,
in World War II. Nonetheless, the Chinese attacked us and pushed us all the way back down to the 38th parallel, where the war ended. Lost 50,000 guys in that war, and they lost many, 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 many times that. So war between the U.S. and China, I mean, if it's inconceivable, excuse me, it's already happened before.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. All right, we're talking right now with Dr. Graham Allison. The name of his book is Destined for War, Can America and China Escape Thucydides' Trap? The publisher is HMH. And is there a website you could we could refer people to for the book?
There is. If you go to the Thucydides' Trap website, you'll see. On who's talking about Thucydides. Even, I think, there's a shout-out in Wonder Woman. So, who knows?
Yeah. Okay, let me spell Thucydides then. It's Thucydides. And presumably there's no apostrophe there, right, in the website?
Don't need an apostrophe, no.
Right, Thucydides Trap. Okay, .com. All right, what do we need to say in the next minute or so that's left that we haven't said, especially, you know, in trying to avoid what happened to, you know, Athens and Sparta?
So this book is not fatalistic. It's not pessimistic. I mean, maybe the subtitle should be rather, somebody said to me, it should be said, how the U.S. and China can escape Thucydides' Trap.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I would say how?
Yeah.
How, by one, recognize the problem, and two, by stretching our minds.
Yeah, and you could even, if you retitle it or whatever, you could always just put "Destined for War?" Question mark, because it's, as you say, it's not inevitable. It's not fatalistic, but it's important that we recognize the threat, and if we don't, you know, then we can end up with a situation. In fact, maybe we can end on this point just for 30 seconds. The conflict between Great Britain and Germany that ultimately dragged the world into war in the Great War, World War I.
Well, in the case of World War I, it's hard to believe, and even I have a good chapter on it trying to explain, but I still find it inexplicable. The assassination of an archduke in Sarajevo by Serbian terrorists struck a match that produced a fire that burned down the whole house of Europe. At the end of the war, every one of the leaders had lost what he cared about most. So the Austro-Hungarian Empire is dissolved, the emperor's gone. Russian Tsar is overthrown by the Bolsheviks.
Yeah.
Kaiser in Germany is tossed out. France has bled of its youth for a whole generation, never recovers as a society. And Britain, which has been a great creditor nation, is now a debtor in terminal decline. So if they'd been given a chance for a do-over, nobody would have chosen what he did. But they chose, and the war came. So we should study that carefully to see who else could provide a spark for a fire that burned down the houses of China and the U.S.
Wow. All right. Excellent. ThucydidesTrap.com for more information. Thank you so much, Dr. Allison, for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Enjoy
all the best now.
Conversation.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.